Good morning, everyone. This morning we're in Proverbs 6. Proverbs, likely all written by Solomon, and a man who didn't always do everything right, that's for sure, but he was someone who sought after wisdom, and God did grant him wisdom. And these Proverbs do provide a lot of wisdom. My son, if you have become surety for your neighbor. Now, the principle of surety is essentially that you always have something available to pay a debt. So it would be something that you would put up in order to make sure that if for some reason you had to pay back, that you had what was needed to pay back. And that's an important concept, you know, in life, is that we should always make sure we have the assets to pay any kind of debt. What seems to be happening here, though, is, my son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, have given a pledge for a stranger, meaning someone, it appears in this case, somewhat rashly perhaps, said, I will cover that. I will cover that debt. I will cover that obligation. And Solomon is saying that someone got ahead of themselves here and did something unwise in claiming to back up a particular debt, so to speak. Because look what it says next in verse 2. If you have been snared with your words, with the words of your mouth, meaning you got ahead of yourself here and said you would take care of this, but you really shouldn't have. You have been caught with the words of your mouth. Do this then, my son, and deliver yourself, since you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Basically, you have committed yourself to be responsible for something that you shouldn't be responsible for, and you're getting yourself endangered by the words of your mouth because you overcommitted. And he's saying, go humble yourself. And the transliteration here, importune your neighbor. What it means is to hastily go and deal with this, to aggressively deal with the commitment you made, and basically to get out of it. Say, hey, listen, I made a mistake. The words got ahead of me here. I shouldn't have made this commitment. What do I need to do to satisfy you to get out of this obligation right now? Like, don't wait for, you know, something bad to happen. Deal with this situation right now. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. This is really interesting. It's essentially, I think it can apply to a lot of things in life where you made a mistake. You made a significant mistake, and you realize you made a mistake. And instead of waiting for the full ramifications of that mistake, go and deal with it right away. Just deal with it now. So I think that is wise, and that's what Solomon's saying, is if you wait too long, it's going to be even worse. Deal with your problem immediately. And then he says this, verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. And this is giving a different warning for someone who's not being responsible with their time and with their work and with their resources, and essentially is being lazy. And if you don't address the problems that you're having in life, if you don't address your finances, if you don't work diligently, you're going to eventually pay the reaper. You're going to fall into the hands of debt or problems, and one has to be careful to not get off track for a very long time with one's finances and with one's work. We need to be diligent in life, and it's important. And you know, it's a really bad thing to fall behind financially. It It can distract you spiritually. It can affect you physically, emotionally. And Solomon is warning us against getting in too much debt and not working to get out of it, and also just simply not being lazy. Verse 12, a worthless person, a wicked man, is the one who walks with a perverse mouth. So now he's changing topics again. A worthless person and a wicked man is the one who walks with a perverse mouth, who winks with his eyes, who signals with his feet, who points with his fingers, who with perversity in his heart continually devises evil. And may we not be people like that. We really should be watching the words that come out of our mouth. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. We should not be using the Lord's name in vain. We shouldn't be cursing. We shouldn't have a sinful mouth. And a sinful mouth really comes from a sinful mind and not having our mind be in alignment with the Lord. And it also talks about someone who winks, and, you know, I don't know if somebody comes to mind for you. You know, there are people throughout my history that have come to mind. One guy that I actually, you know, did his celebration, and he was kind of like this. He was a little bit more perverse, did things wrongly. He winked with his eyes, and he actually did become a sluggard, and at one time was very wealthy, but then lost it all and ended up getting sick and dying. But in his dying days, he would call me, and he wanted to make things right in his life. He wanted to reconcile with those that he hurt, and he wanted to give his life to Jesus, and he did. And tell you what, it was like a thief on the cross coming to the Lord at the very end of his life. But I did feel it was genuine, and it's not the best way to go about doing it, because he could have used God's help a decade earlier, you know, or more than a decade earlier. But I'm thankful that he did, in the end of his life, come to the Lord. But we don't want to be this kind of person, a wicked person with a perverse mouth who winks with his eyes and in his heart continually devises evil. There are people like that in our world, and may we not be them, and may they recognize their sinfulness and waywardness and come to the Lord. Praise God, he can change anybody. Then it says in verse 14, who spreads strife, therefore his calamity will come suddenly. Instantly he will be broken, and there will be no healing. For some reason, that really comes to mind with my friend. You know, and ultimately we're all going to, you know, we all do get sick in the end and die. But this seems really to be accurate of this person. But who spreads strife? That's going to come up again, I believe, in this proverb. And, you know, sometimes that can even happen in the church. There are times there are people who just, they can't seem to live without being in strife. And man, we don't want to be that kind of people. We want to be people who have grace, who have love, who speak good things out of our hearts, out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouth speaks. And we got to not be someone who spreads strife, and recognize if that's something you struggle with, got to first address what's going on in your inner man or inner woman, and keep your tongue from setting a fire. Many times it's just keeping our mouth shut and only saying something good or positive. If you're the kind of person that were to get involved in spreading strife, listen to what it says here. This is really interesting. There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, thinking too much of oneself, pride, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. You know, it's interesting as I was reading this, you know, David was called a man after his own heart, but at times he had haughty eyes and a lying tongue. He shed innocent blood. He devised wicked plans. He ran towards evil. Isn't that amazing that all these things can be true of people and even people who have God in their lives? I'm thankful, you know, David didn't live in our day where he knew Jesus, became a follower of him, became born again, and had his Holy Spirit living inside of him. And today we have that advantage of having God's Spirit literally live inside of those who believe. But we still have a nature that comes from Adam. And these things can be true of us, but they don't need to be. May we stay in steadfast love of our Lord and stay in the Word. And, you know, anyone listening, you know, all these things I think we've seen done, but as a pastor, I guess the one I'm most sensitive to this morning is, and one who spreads strife among brothers. We should really be watching for that in the church body. People who spread strife, who speak ill of others, ill of leaders, who complain, and really as other people in the body, we should really call them out on it. And when someone's spreading strife, just say, listen, don't do that, brother. That's spreading strife. Be more gracious. Be kind. You know, don't gossip. Don't slander. If you find someone who's spreading strife, really, they should be called out for it so that it doesn't go on anymore. A church would be better off not having those people in the body than to have them in the body and spreading strife. So be a man or woman of God and call people out and do it gently and do it in love, but call people out if they're spreading strife. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. And you know, Lord willing, our father and mother gave us good teaching. I've had good ones. But, you know, now we have Father God and we have his word. And I really think that's the best advice of all. And it says, bind them continually on your heart and tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light. Hallelujah. And the reproofs for discipline are the way of life. What a glorious word. I mean, this is pure glory. And this is what you're doing. You know, I praise God for you, whoever's going through this 3-year journey with us. And I pray that we'd get more people involved in knowing the whole counsel of God's word. You know, I was thinking about the Great Commission recently, and Jesus said, you know, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And he said, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And we have too many Christians in our world today that don't know God's word and don't know the whole counsel of God's word. So therefore, they only know cherry-pick things that they're taught on Sundays. And I really believe if you want to be a whole Christian, you need to read the whole Bible. And it's so important to know all of Scripture and then to have it be something that is continually on your heart and around your neck and with you when you walk about and when you sleep, and God's word and his Holy Spirit, which the sword of the Spirit is the word of God, it will guide you. And I can tell you, I stand here grateful to God that he has made me a man of his word, and that every day I get up and spend time with him And I still, you know, struggle. I still am not, you know, by not perfect. That's even saying too much. You know what I mean? I'm still someone that God is working on and helping to grow and mature. But I know without a shadow of a doubt, I am so much better off than I would be because of the fact that I'm daily in the Word of God. And I want to encourage you and say well done to you who are going through this journey and who are daily in the Word of God. You know, I'm thinking of a friend right now who has been very faithful to this journey. And I'm telling you, he's changing. He's changing. God's changing. And God's began changing when he became born again. But he's changing because he's in the Word essentially every day. It changes you and it makes you more like your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stick with the journey. Continually put God's Word in your heart. Hallelujah. All right, verse 24. To keep you away from the evil woman and from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. And this is really going to get into the danger of adultery. And, you know, I want to say to any man or woman listening that maybe has had this in their past, either they have or maybe their spouse, I'm grateful for your strength and for the Holy Spirit to give you grace and to give you commitment to your husband or wife, even though they've made a great mistake. I applaud you in your grace and your forgiveness and your maturity. But I also say now, all of us listening, listen to these words from Solomon. To keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. One thing I'd say right away is don't put yourself in the smooth tongue of an adulteress. Don't spend time with another man or woman other than your spouse, especially if there's any kind of attraction. Don't put yourself there to be under the smooth tongue of someone. Don't give yourself time to play with a scenario that could go bad. Don't, you know, you just have to put a boundary. I mean, I am friends with, you know, women in our church, and at times I provide counsel for women at our church, but I do so carefully, and I don't entertain discussion or inappropriate discussion that could begin to lead to a problematic scenario. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. And you know what? You should know if someone is maybe, for whatever reason, you're attracted to a certain someone. You know, God did make us men and women to see beauty. And, you know, that's how we're fruitful and multiply, as we are attracted to, you know, the opposite gender. And God had a reason for that. But, you know, when there's someone who's not your spouse, and for whatever reason, maybe they're attractive to you, you need to put a stronger fence around that relationship and a stronger boundary, and remove yourself from anything that could lead the wrong way. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. I mean, basically, there is great destruction because of adultery. And, you know, when you let yourself go in inappropriate scenarios and situations, it can lead to that. And an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Meaning, if you go too far with this, you're going to burn. Something bad's going to happen in your life. Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? Don't go there. So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. You know, and if you don't guard yourself and get away from bad scenarios and not spend time with people that where it could lead somewhere ill, and you do something wrong, there's going to be consequences. Men, do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. That's interesting. So it's saying, let's say someone steals because they're very poor and hungry. You might have compassion on them, but he's still going to have to repay sevenfold because stealing's wrong. He must give all the substance of his house. He's got to pay back. And that even though you might have compassion, the thief's supposed to pay back restitution. And now he's going to compare that to adultery. And he says, the one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Meaning someone, you know, not only are you going to have consequences because of the sin, but someone might take vengeance on you for what you're doing. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be satisfied, though you give many gifts. You know, that woman or man is perhaps, you know, could be the husband or wife of somebody else. And, you know, people can do crazy things. So it's like, if you get involved in adultery like that, you know, you just never know what someone might do, and it's dangerous. And just as the thief may have to repay for his thievery, someone may have to pay consequences for adultery. You know, these are kind of straightforward, practical words, but I hope and pray that whomever is listening to this, God can use it for the rest of your life to help you to have strong boundaries, to stay away from any woman, image, anything. And I'll say man too for a woman that's not your spouse. Don't put yourself in the line of fire. Don't even approach yourself in a situation that could lead you astray. It's a major thing, and your life will be so much more blessed if you steer away from anything like this. And, you know, I'm so thankful. You know, I'm going on 29 years with my wife, actually 30, I believe, this year, years of marriage with my wife. And I know, you know, I'm confident. I know I've been faithful, and I'm confident she has been too. And that is a blessing to our lives and our marriage, that we have not had to deal with this kind of problem in our lives. And I pray that that would be true of you, and especially true of you in your future. Let's honor the Lord together. And thank you, Solomon, for this guidance. God bless you all.